This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 12th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. A 28-year-old Chicago man has been sentenced to natural life in prison after pleading guilty in the fatal shooting of a Douglas County sheriff's deputy. William Thompson pleaded guilty to first-degree murder in a plea bargain Wednesday in Macon County Court. Douglas County Deputy Tommy Martin was shot during a crime spree that included a high-speed chase and standoff at an Arcola bank in June of 2007. The 59-year-old deputy died almost a month later. Thompson's co-defendant, Yusef Kareem Brown, has pleaded not guilty to murder and other charges. Prosecutors say Brown has a May hearing date to determine if his case is ready for trial. The case was moved to Decatur because many people in Douglas County knew Martin. University of Illinois President Joseph White says the new global campus may be growing at the right time in history. Two votes made by the Board of Trustees yesterday were aimed at helping the online degree program reach its own accreditation. They approved job duties for Global Campus Director Chet Gardner and formed rules for an academic policy council to give some oversight power to faculty. The goal is to put Global Campus on an equal footing with each brick-and-mortar campus. White says the new alternative for college students comes at a time when people looking for work are turning to education.
We're seeing applications up at all of our campuses, and community colleges are flooded with students. The way I put it is, for a regrettable reason, which is the most severe economic downturn since the Great Depression, the world is coming our way. We do what the world needs, which is to educate large numbers of people with quality.
White expects Global Campus to reach 1,500 students by the year 2011. It began 2 years ago with only a dozen students, prompting some to question its existence. The 1870 frame house known as Mumford House will stay near the heart of the University of Illinois campus in Champaign. U of I officials were planning to move the house from the South Quad to the corner of Race and Windsor on the edge of the U of I South Farms. The plan drew criticism from historians and preservation advocates. Board of Trustees Chairman Niranjan Shah says after talks with those officials, Mumford House won't be moved, but it will need extensive restoration.
We, as a university, have to come up with the money. And money is always the issue. And we all are going to work together. So we need your support. We need everybody's support to help us to get the money, not only for Mumford House, but Lincoln Hall as well.
Lincoln Hall and the U of I Quad was one of the university's most heavily used buildings, but its state of disrepair has placed it on the list of needed capital projects for years, and the U of I has been forced to relocate classes and offices. The turnaround on Mumford House is great news for preservationists like Karen Coomer. The head of the Preservation and Conservation Association in Champaign says Mumford House is one of only two sites left from the university's earliest years. The other is the Morrow Plots on Gregory Drive. Ameren and Illinois EPA officials answered questions at an open house yesterday about cleanup plans for a former manufactured gas plant on the east side of Champaign. Many of the questions came from people who don't think the cleanup goes far enough. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Ameren plans to remove contaminated topsoil as deep as 10 feet down from the former plant site at 5th and Hill Streets. Chemicals will be injected into the remaining soil and groundwater to break up toxins at deeper levels. But neighbors of the site, organized by Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, say they fear the cleanup process will miss contaminants that may have already been carried off-site by groundwater to their properties, where it could seep in the flood-prone basements. Some at yesterday's open house complained about a persistent chemical smell. The Illinois EPA's Greg Dunn told them that Ameren or his agency would do sump water inspections at their homes if they request it.
If you guys smell something, contact me, because we have an office in Champaign. I can have the guy, one of our inspectors, come on over and kind of check it out. He works 5 minutes from this site. So, I mean,
so,
if you guys have an
we
issue.
Have screening instruments that he got
yeah,
right
so we can take a look and we can get somebody over there that can really take a look at it.
Ameren and IEPA officials still contend that the cleanup scheduled to start next month at the former plant site, plus a very few neighboring properties, is enough to make the area safe. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The chief executive officer of the FutureGen Alliance says the organization is looking to the future for success. Michael Mudd's comments come in response to a congressional report released yesterday that shows the Bush administration used faulty information when reaching its decision to cancel the FutureGen project for Mattoon. The clean coal-burning power plant was shelved by the Energy Department Just over a year ago, the report found that the cost of the project was put at $1.8 billion when it should have been at $1.3 billion. Energy Secretary Stephen Hsu says the price has now risen to $2.3 billion. Illinois' congressional delegation has urged the Obama administration to revive future gen, arguing it would boost economic development in the coal-rich area of the state. Urbana Congressman Tim Johnson says the project has been on the fast track of late before the math error came up, but says it speaks very poorly of the negligence of past Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Two rival dolls are battling it out in court, a fight that could leave one of them dead or at least sold by a different company. And one of the dolls is a bit old for boxing. Commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
We gather together to celebrate Barbie's 50th birthday this week. But in our joyful happiness, we also mourn the potential passing of Jade, Yasmin, Chloe, and Sasha. They are the Bratz. The Bratz dolls are about the size of Barbie, aimed at the same audience, and are just as comely. Chloe, for example, is billed as a pouty princess with a passion for self-expression. There's a troublingly big lipstick kiss right next to those words on Chloe's packaging, so it's not precisely clear what sort of self-expression Chloe's got a passion for. But she's not talking. Like many Bratz, Chloe is the silent, out-of-this-world type. She has giant alien-like eyes and collagen-maxed fat lips. Her head is at least as big as her torso, and her high-heeled shoes are so high that the pouty princess will clearly need her lusty lawyer to sue the manufacturer for medical bill coverage should Her Majesty ever topple over. Even so, and I mean this sincerely, she's a looker. If Chloe could talk, she'd probably accuse Barbie of jealousy. Chloe's lawyers have. A 50-year-old Barbie, the Bratz attorneys have basically argued, just can't keep up with a fun-loving younger Bratz. And that's why, those attorneys say, Barbie's handlers have sued the Bratz franchise via the Bratz designer. If Bratz are out of the picture, the Bratz attorneys have suggested accusingly, Barbie can continue her world domination. People at Mattel, Barbie's empire, don't see it that way, of course. From Barbie's point of view, the Bratz problem has nothing to do with jealousy and everything to do with contract law. The man behind Bratz, Mattel argues, worked for Mattel when he designed the Bratz dolls. His contract with Mattel promised everything he designed to Mattel. All the Bratz, Mattel argues, belong to us. Why the hubbub? One court put Bratz revenue at $500 million. Barbie won at the trial level, and so Chloe and her sisters are facing the end of days, even as Barbie, the first doll to break free of body measurement norms, happily celebrates her 50th as if nothing's amiss. The court's language is strong. It permanently enjoined the Bratz Company from manufacturing, selling, or offering to sell any doll, product, or other item that embodies or depicts in whole or in part the head and or body, sometimes known as the core Bratz fashion doll. A later paragraph puts names to the heads and bodies: Chloe, Yasmin, Sasha, Jade, and 36 others. Since then, and I couldn't get either side to confirm, the Bratz have appealed the decision and have been granted a stay of execution until this coming December. Reuters suggested that the two doll companies are trying to work out some sort of agreement, one that could obviously keep Bratz around. The bigger heads may yet prevail. Meantime, despite all this uncertainty about the future, the Bratz dreams haven't died. Sasha's super-secret love is politics, her website explains. No mention why a love of politics is so shameful. She loves to read about what goes on in the government and imagines being a senator or even the president someday. Who's the jealous one? Birthday girl Barbie? Been there, done that. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region today, we expect partly sunny skies, the high only around 35 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 22. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 45. Partly cloudy Friday night, the low around 25. Mostly sunny Saturday, The high in the lower 50s, mostly cloudy Saturday evening, the low around 35. Sunday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, the high around 52 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 12th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.